This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
This episode of Secrets of Once Upon a Time is brought to you by Bluehost. Bluehost is one of the biggest and best companies for your website or blog. For just $6.95 per month, they offer great service and support, so you can focus on your content instead of worrying about technology. Go to sqpn.com/bluehost for more information. And by the Amazon store. Click on the link on our website before you shop at Amazon, and your purchase will help support our show.
I need a child, Gold, and I need your help.
Well, I'm flattered, but uninterested.
Not like that. Spent all morning talking to adoption agencies. The wait lists are over 2 years long. But you, Gold, you know how to cut through red tape. And if anyone can work the system and find me a baby, it's you.
You wish to adopt?
Oh, don't look so surprised.
Oh, I'm not.
Welcome to a new episode of Secrets of Once Upon a Time. I'm Inge, and as you can hear, Father Roderick could make it on the show this week because he's again in Rome, where the weather is nice. And of course, here the weather is not so very great. How's the weather at your place, Shelley?
Oh, weather's actually kind of muggy here. It's very warm. We're waiting for an Arctic blast to come down from David's neck of the woods.
So, David, it's cold where you are, I heard.
It's just a little bit below freezing, so there's freezing rain covering everything. So I just went out, it's around lunchtime where I'm at now, so I went out over lunch to check on my car, and it's like my car looks like it's wet, but it's really encased in ice. So it's this thin sheen of ice that you can't quite get with the ice scraper because you'll start scratching the windshield at the same time. So you just kind of have to turn on the defroster and pray that it works.
That will be a challenge getting home, I guess. And Lisa, how's it at your place?
Oh, we're good. We're good. I went for a walk this morning, worked up a nice sweat. So we're waiting, like Shelley said, we're waiting for that cold weather to move in for Houston.
Well, looks like we are all ready to cover up, take some blankets, some hot wine, and snuggle up for an episode of Once Upon a Time. So
you rhymed.
we see some backstory about what happened just after the curse launched. So it almost looks like Rumpel has everything. All his ducks are in a row. Everything goes according to plan, and the evil queen realizes at the very last moment that she has been played. So what do you think about that scene?
Well, I didn't know much about what this episode was going to be about. So seeing those first few scenes with Rumpel and Regina, it was like, oh, we're going back, because we haven't been kind of back in time that much and addressed the curse and all that. And you realize it was going to be a Regina-centered episode. I liked it. It reminds me of first season, and I like all of that where you're not quite sure what they're going to do. And this actually, even though there wasn't as much action adventure or even plot movement, I really enjoyed I enjoyed the character development for Regina. It was very sweet, nice.
And you, David?
I would agree. It did one, and I'll try not to spoil the episode too much, but it did one thing, and one thing really only, was just to advance Regina's character development to show why she was the only one who could kind of be the hero of the day. Mm-hmm. So it was very unexpected, and I like three seasons in, I like a few unexpected twists that aren't just completely off the wall. It was great.
It was really interesting seeing Regina kind of be questioning. You know, she's there to gloat with Rumpel, and he's like, "Well, you know, you promised me. Well, what do I have to worry about?" But he did kind of tell her, "Look, you're going to have this big hole in your heart. You don't even realize exactly what you've really truly done yet, and one day it's going to come back and bite you."
Yes, and that's basically what the next scene is about. That's where Regina is sitting in her office, and she has invited Dr. Hopper to talk with her. And Dr. Hopper is afraid that something is wrong with Pongo's dog license. But it's about how Regina is feeling. So I liked it to see Dr. Hopper and all the people from Storybrook again in the flashback. So when Dr. Hopper says about a hole in the heart, and then it looks like then she remembers the last conversation with Rumpel, and then she goes to Rumpel to procure a baby, because she has been calling adoption offices later on, and then there's a waiting list, and so she wants to go to do it his way. So what did you think about that scene?
I struggled a little bit with how easy it is for her to come and go from Storybrooke, and she's very much, you know, able to go into Boston and leave the town when nobody else can. And I understand that because she's the one that implemented the curse, she can cross the line. But I was confused why Gold was able to reach out and make contact in the rest of the world also. I thought that was a little, I don't know.
I wondered about that too.
It was strange.
Did we know? I mean, I guess that's where it's just left for us to fill in the blanks and just accept it. But it seemed a little strange that he didn't know about Bay, but he knew about Emma and the baby and the, you know what I mean? I don't know. Mm-hmm. All that kind of came a little too.
Because he's one of the people who couldn't technically leave, but somehow he's able, you know, he has enough connections to make things come and go, even though no one ever comes into town until Emma came.
You told me I'd come to you, that I'd have a hole in my heart. And you want this to end? This town, what I built, you want to destroy it all by bringing the mother back? That's why you did all this.
Do you know you have dark circles under your eyes? No weary tremble in your voice? Poor thing. Look what motherhood has done to you.
Play dumb all you want, you little imp. You should know who you're dealing with by now. I sacrificed everything to build this life, and nothing will tear me away from my revenge. Henry goes back to Boston tomorrow.
Well, and also,
someone refresh my memory. I thought originally Gold didn't remember that he was Rumpel and all of that stuff until Emma came to town. I mean, I thought that was part of it. So,
yes.
But he knew enough back 28 years ago, I mean 11 years ago, to get the right baby?
Well, that's what I was wondering as well, because it's not about a baby, it's a closed adoption, so technically she doesn't know anything about him. And Gold also plays dumb, or is he really not recognizing, or so Regina comes up to him and you kind of wonder if does he play that he doesn't realize or remember, because he makes at one point a comment that his memory isn't what it used to be.
No, so he doesn't play. It's very inconsistent, and it was a little annoying because we spend a lot of time in the first season, does he or doesn't he? Does he or doesn't he? Mm-hmm. And we honestly thought he didn't until he met Emma. But then there was still some question of when he exactly was cognizant. He really does seem to know. And later she comes back and she really accuses him of it. So maybe he didn't, and it was just coincidence. It was just the fate happening that it was Emma's child, that it was the Savior's child, that it was the child that was going to leave. I mean, that all of it was connected somehow, but it really wasn't, I don't know. It left me kind of quizzically turning my head. My kids were like, well, I thought he didn't know about the curse.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It confused me as well. And so we get those nice cuts from the baby's head to Henry's head in Neverland, where Regina casts a protection spell so to buy them some time to find Pan. That for me was also a little bit too easy, because it's kind of they are all friends and there's no tension, and both mothers are sisterly bent over Henry, and helping him, and then they have to decide what to do. So what do you think about that, David, about that scene?
This is where I was already impressed with Regina, because it seems like a lot of times she just seems to give up and takes the easy way out with a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But she's like, this time around, this is like one of the few times where she's like, no, we've got to do something. So she puts together that protection spell, or preservation spell, I should say. And mm-hmm. then she's motivated to actually, the easy way out would just be to call it quits, but she actually is, she's all ready to find Pan, even though she doesn't know exactly what to do. So that's where I started to become impressed with right there, because usually that's when Emma has to take the wheel and do everything.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, you clearly knew at this point that it was going to be Regina, like a Regina mom episode, because, mm-hmm. It was showing her caring for him that... But, you said that, and Emma did stop her later, because she did with the when they confronted the Lost Boys, she wanted to, again, just rip out their heart and let's do it my way. And Emma, and that time, Emma stepped up and said, no, we give them what they want. And I loved that scene. That was very touching. Because for a moment, when she said, they all want a mom, I thought, she's going to point to Mary Margaret, and this is going to be like a Mary Margaret Emma bonding moment. But instead it was Emma talking about not having a home and all of that. And then she got to the boys. And I liked that moment for Emma, because it was real touching, and she's never vulnerable and shares, and so it was good to see her like that. Especially in the middle of a Regina mom episode, to get a little Emma, I'm over here too, and let her have some character development.
It tied it in nicely too with the previous episodes, Lost Girl, because it had Emma acknowledging, look, I'm one of you, and, but for the grace of God, I'm not here with you in as a lost girl, but I'm one of you. I understand. I know what you're feeling, and we're going to bring you back, and we're going to give you that family, that love that you don't have and that you've been seeking. And it's a shame Father Roderick's not here, because I could see this whole dialogue coming out of him off of that one. But I have to say also that I loved the scene where Regina got the baby, and I don't know what she was expecting. Maybe she was expecting just instant unconditional love, almost like a teenager who feels unloved and wants a child, or thinks a child is going to give her that unconditional love. But there he was, just crying and crying and crying and crying, and she didn't know what to do. She, she really didn't have love from a mother, so she almost didn't know how to be a mother to him. Yeah. And when she handed him off to Mary Margaret, and he just instantly stopped and began cooing, and you're sitting there going, oh, this is going to get nasty.
Yeah, I was worried for a minute.
Henry, I promise if you just tell me what you want, I'll do anything for you, anything. Please, just give me a chance. Thank you.
But did you not, as a parent, did you not, like, that baby is just crying, crying, crying. You're like, my husband goes, pick up the baby. Yeah. Just pick him up already.
But she didn't know. It's like she's going to. It reminded me of that movie Ella Enchanted, when the baby's crying and she's like, I give you the gift of obedience. Ding. And the baby just. I kept waiting for Regina to put some spell on Henry, to make him not cry.
Yeah, but she can't. There's no magic in Storybrooke.
I know, but that's what I kept waiting for. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
she had to learn.
Yeah. And this, of course, it's not that long ago that I was in her shoes. It's like, I remember at one point where baby's just crying. I'm just standing there paralyzed. Like, what do I do? What do I do? And my wife's like, pick up the baby. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, so this is one of the few times where I'm like, I know exactly how she feels. Like, she's crying. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? So you want to do something, anything, but you can't move. So.
Yeah. I felt so bad for Regina, because you just see the damage Cora has done to her becoming present there, because she really wants to love Henry, but it's kind of something irrational. So she decided she loves Henry, and then she doesn't really know how to reach her heart for some reason to make that connection, and she needs to become very desperate for it to connect. And so she thinks something is wrong with Henry, so she goes to Dr. Whale, and I love what Dr. Whale said. He has the heart of a locomotive, and there's nothing wrong with his screaming and some. So I prescribe 10 cc of motherly love, and then Regina has Sydney discover what a birth mother is about.
Right, and it almost felt like she knew that was Emma, that was the savior, that this was going to be the end of her curse, and she panicked, and then she's all worried, and not to jump ahead too much, but it fits. She goes and what she can only do what she can control.
Yeah,
and the only way she realizes she's going to be a mother is she has to let go. She has to not worry. She has to take that potion so that she can focus on Henry. And not worry about when is Emma going to show up? When is this mother? When is this savior going to come and destroy everything that she's got her revenge? And the thing I liked about the love with Regina and Henry is you can't heal a broken heart without realizing that she had broken her own heart taking her father's life to get her revenge. But she had to learn how to allow him to heal her. And I without jumping to the tree yet, but I love that over the course of Henry's life, she did fulfill that in herself. She did reach that love, that perfect love.
Yes, and then also we cut. That's also the little scene between Emma and Regina, when they are cutting back to Neverland, and they are bent over, and so they are what are we going to do? And then they have talked to the Lost Boys, and the younger ones say Felix tell about the thinking tree, which is the tree he climbed in to find the pixie dust, and when they are bent over Henry, Emma tells Regina, "I know how you feel," and then she snaps back, "How can you don't know what I feel?" She almost starts crying. You have the pirate who is angling after. How you say that? Is after you. You have your person. That's what she says. And your parents. So you have a lot of people around you, and I only have Henry is everything I have. I have nothing else. And I found that in one of the most powerful scenes in the episode.
Useless.
Okay, enough.
Don't tell me what's enough. My son is dying.
Our son. So yes, I know how you feel.
You have no idea what I feel. You have your parents. You have this person, a pirate who pines for you. You have everything, and yet you claim to know what I feel? All I have is Henry, and I'm not about to lose him because he is everything.
You're right. I don't know what you feel. So what do you want to do? You want to run the show? Run it. How do we save Henry?
I don't know.
Yeah, I really like that because I kind of feel that sets the tone of the episode. That's just because you're his birth mom, you don't know what another mom feels, because she changed all the diapers for and everything.
Well, I really enjoyed this episode. I'm not a big fan of the twist at the end, but for the Regina part, I really liked it. It wasn't I should have fallen in love and I should have gone in there and Tink should have led me to Robin Hood and blah blah blah, but I really like it when they focus on Regina and what motivates her as the evil queen and what she has done and what her possible path to redemption is. And she's so clearly on that path that it's almost as if every single character is on their own hero's journey. They've all got the challenge. They've all got the the obstacle. They each have their own villain in their own eyes. They each have to transform themselves in order to emerge on the outside of the journey, you know, or the journey itself is transforming them. And this whole experience is really changing Regina.
Yeah. Yeah, I love what the actress is doing here. Very powerful. And also, then they go to the tree, because there they are finding that Pandora's box with Rumple inside it, and they get trapped on the tree. So in the tree, protects Pan, and then, so I didn't really understand what the deal with the vines was. So the tree protects Pan, and if you are regretting something, then it binds you or something like that.
It was a powerful thing.
It uses any regrets that you have deep down and turns them against you. And in a weird way, what has made Regina seem so immoral or amoral for the last three seasons turns out to be a heroic quality this time. And she, yeah. Because everything she has done has, while a lot of it is bad, it led to her having Henry. So she has absolutely no regret at all, and has absolutely no problems freeing herself and just yanking the heart straight out of Pan, which was probably easily the most gung-ho awesome move I've seen in the last three seasons.
Last words from the Queen. Perhaps a deathbed confession from the one who has the most to regret of all.
Yeah, there's one problem with that. I did cast a curse that devastated an entire population. I have tortured and murdered. I've done some terrible things. I should be overflowing with regret, but I'm not. Because it got me my son. Now, let's go save Henry.
It was the best scene of the whole season so far.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
Oh.
Well, yeah. There was a part of me going, it can't be that easy. But it wasn't easy, but it...
No.
It, just the way that they... You know, you're going, did that really just happen? You know?
Yeah. And also, you see the look on Pam's face, like, wait, what?
And then, yeah.
It wasn't that easy, but it was worth it to see this character who's been the smuggest, smarmiest thing I've ever seen for this entire season. Just all of a sudden, I did not see this coming.
I love the way she says, I did all these really bad things and I should have lots of regret, but I don't, you know? And it was just like, wow, okay, yay.
All right, yeah.
We all cheered. We were jumping off the couch. I was like, yeah, go, Regina.
Yeah, but the moment she yanked out that heart, it looked weird.
Well, it's Henry's heart.
It had that yellow on it.
Yeah, so when Henry ripped out his own heart, it was like the hearts we have always seen in Once Upon a Time, just this kind of crystal yellow, no, not yellow, purplish, pink heart.
Red.
And then, so I was at the moment I saw that, I was like, oh, this is something is not right.
Well, I have a question. Doesn't Pan have his own physical heart in his body? And then Henry pulls out his heart and shoves his heart into Pan's body. So technically, wouldn't Pan's body have two hearts now? Maybe she grabbed the wrong one.
Well, since Pan doesn't have a shadow or anything like that, I'm not even going to get exactly how his body works anymore.
maybe she grabbed Pan's heart, not Henry's heart, and shoved it back into Henry.
I don't think the change happened then. The change happened later, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Until he yanked out the shadow. Or yanked at the shadow.
Right, it had to do with the shadows.
Yeah, but let's not run ahead of ourselves there. Okay. But that's what I was noticing, like, from why is this yellow glow? Is that kind of magic? Because we didn't see that before. It's kind of, how you say that, confused me or distracted me. And they also get the Pandora's box with Rumple in it, and then they just dash off to the, I think, what was it, the Jolly Jumper, That's
Jolly Roger.
Dolly, the Jolly Roger.
Jolly Roger.
Yeah. Jolly Roger is the ship. Yeah.
So
yeah, you know what? And it had a. There were a lot of really nice, kind of sweet moments. Kind of, my only problem with this episode, because I really liked all the Regina stuff. My only problem was like at that point when they all get back on the Jolly Roger and they're all like, "Oh, life is so great. Oh, we're all such good friends." Oh, you know, like Regina and Tink are hugging, and Tink and what's the child's name? Wendy. You know, are we really going home? Oh, yes. You know, and I'm sitting there going, really? Was this not all just a little too easy? You know, a little too happily ever after to anyone else? I mean, I'm thinking there's going to be another shoe to drop, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to know how on earth could they get Charming on that ship and have him go home? I thought he was going to have to stay on Neverland, and Rumple was going to have to go back to Storybrooke, mix up the potion, come back to Neverland, give it to him, and then he'd be healed and he could come home.
No,
they
was connected to the water.
Being able to keep, you know, if he had some of the water with him or something like that.
Yeah, so what they did is, I think it was the previous episode, they went back to this waterfall to get some of that water, that magical water.
Okay.
So, because his life was connected to the water, so he needed to bring some water with him to Storybrooke. To stay alive.
Okay, I missed that.
Right.
Because I kept sitting there going, well, wait a second. Charming, what are you doing on that ship? You're not going anywhere. No. And they were able to somehow get the shadow to attach to the sail so that it could make the ship fly.
Yeah.
I kind of missed that. I wish that it had been the Tinkerbell and the pixie dust and the flying bit.
She doesn't have her magic, so...
Yeah, that's a twist that I think would have been better if... Yeah.
Yeah,
it might have been a little too fast, though.
It's also
kind
of
weird. Because I like that she started to believe again. Remember that it isn't enough for other people to believe in her, that she has to believe in herself. And so, that's going to happen for her. So I thought that was really good. But the shadow out of the cannon, I thought that was kind of cool.
And the shadow wasn't coming out of the cannon. So there was this cannonball that was fired. Someone was having this coconut with a shadow in front of the cannon. So there was kind of a team... assembly. So the moment the cannon...
Oh, I thought they put the coconut in there. The coconut in there and shot
Neil,
it out.
I think Neil opened it and the cannonball came through and caught the shadow.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then Regina was in her position at the moment the shadow came out. She did her green laser beams and turned it into the sail. Something like that.
Attached it to the sail somehow. Something like that. Yeah. I thought that
was
pretty cool.
But it was a team effort. They all had to work together.
And it solved the problem of Pegasus. You know what I mean? We knew that Jolly Roger wasn't going to fly, so it solved that problem. And they did it together, and I liked that. They didn't have to go hunt something down. You know, one more thing.
Yeah, I feel bad for the Shadow and for Marilyn Manson, by the way, because the Shadow was not evil or something like that. It's just the Guardian is kind of neutral shape. Guarding the island, and then Pan came and destroyed the whole island because there's no pixie dust anymore. So,
well, here's the question: didn't Pan create? I mean, didn't Rumple's father like create the island because it was in his dream? He went there in his dreams, but
no, I don't.
The island is a place where all children can visit in their dreams, and that's something I was gonna. I wanted to talk about too. Just I think it's interesting. This it was an island that was built for children to come to in their dreams, and that's what the shadow said. But I just find it crazy that it was this paradise and nice, beautiful looking place, and there's pixie dust and anything could be imagined, and then this guy comes who wants to be young again, and he pretty much turns the entire place he turns the place into a dump. I mean,
yeah.
He's trashed out the whole place, and they always talk about, well, this is where the pixie dust used to grow, and this is what it used to be like, and like, so...
Because
so
you can't go back, you can't be a kid again.
Yeah, so this is what happens when in a place designed for children is run by a guy who keeps thinking he's a child, but he's not. So,
was it that he wanted to be a child again? I think it was that he wanted to escape all responsibility and all of his obligations of being an adult.
Yeah.
True.
So
true.
He was leaving his adult self behind. He didn't want to have, I mean, how many times have you told your, well, okay, I'm sorry, your daughter's only a couple months old still. She's not even a year. When they get older,
3 weeks,
when they
get older,
right, when they get older, then they'll be like, they'll be in a hurry to grow up. And you'll be telling them, stay, you know, don't worry about that yet. You'll have all your adult life to worry about this or that or the other. Just enjoy being a kid. Just enjoy being 8. Just enjoy being 10. Just enjoy being 12. You know, I know you're a teenager, but you need to, you know, enjoy this last bit of no responsibility. Sooner or later, they're going to graduate high school. They're going to go to college. They're going to graduate college and realize that the rest of the world does not get summers off and 3 weeks at Christmas, and they have to do the laundry every week, and they have to go to work and earn a paycheck, and it becomes drudgery for a lot of people. Or that's a shock when you become an adult and you've been a teenager or a college student and you haven't had that amount of responsibility. And so that's what I saw him. He was like, I'm done with this whole earn a living, and I can't drink whenever I want to, and I have to have money, and I have this boy at my heels, and I just want to play. I want to fly. I want to be a child again.
Yes. And I was wondering, so because it's meant to be a place that's being visited, it stays pristine because nobody lives there. But also now some the people are living there. And I think the shadow said it's not meant to live here.
Right.
Something like that. So that's why it all goes dark. Or maybe it's the magic that's required to keep Pan young again. That's consuming all the magic on the island. Like little bit like fossil fuel, you know? So at one point it's depleted and then everything dies. Something like that. So it felt like a little bit like that to me. So I was wondering, now everybody's gone from Neverland, what will happen to Neverland now? Will it be, because the shadow is as his keeper is gone too.
I don't know, they didn't show a preview for next week.
Let's be done with Neverland and not go back.
Well, next week's episode, the final of this half season, is titled The New Neverland. So I imagine they're going to answer that question.
Well, I can't wait to find out.
The bigger question is, will Henry / Pan be in Storybrooke or back in Neverland? Or, you know, where are they going with that? Or is that the whole next half season, you know, challenge? You know, when will they figure out that Henry's not really Henry?
Yeah.
I can see them taking that one on for a long time.
Yeah, so that's so we will talk about that later in spoiler territory. So I was wondering also.
Well, but that's not really a spoiler since everybody has seen the episode. So we can talk about what happened at the end, can't we?
Yeah, but the what happens in Storybrooke when they land there?
Oh, that's Storybrooke. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not speculating. I haven't looked ahead. I don't know anything. So
okay.
I haven't either.
Yeah. So what? What I was found strange as well was that Henry is his heart has been replaced and he gasps and wakes up, and then they bring him to captain's quarters and Regina tucks him in and then just as a precaution casts a spell so nobody can take his heart again, and then Regina leaves and they leave him alone, and I was like, oh, that's probably not a good idea. So the moment she was left, it's like, okay, what's going to happen now? Because has to happen, and poof, Pan appears, and then you know this is trouble. And in the same time, at upstairs, Rumpel is let out of his box, and I love this moment between Rumpel and Neil. Rumpel recognizes Bay, and then Bay asks him, "Why didn't you tell us that Pan is your father?" And then Rumpel responds, "Because I didn't want you I didn't want to tell you that I'm just as bad as he is. We both, abandoned our children, and so I'm just like him." And then Bay says, while he's hugging him, "No, you're not like him." And then he's kind of, it's like that's the healing or something like that.
Bay, Papa, that's Henry.
He's safe.
I told you I wasn't going to have the boy.
I know, I'm sorry. Why didn't you tell me Pan was your father?
Because I didn't want you to know that I was as bad a father as he was.
Because we're both the same, me and him. Because we both abandoned our sons.
No. You're not the same. You came back for me, Papa.
Yeah, so, just more like I was saying earlier, it all came like, oh, we're all good and happy and going to live happily ever after now.
Yes, it was Neil. Neil was acknowledging that even though Rumpel made that decision to let him go, he was too afraid to go into the land without magic with him. That once he lost his son, once he had realized what he did, his whole motivation with the curse and first Cora and then Regina has always been to reunite with Bay. And I guess kind of Neil was acknowledging that, no, you came for me. It took you a couple hundred years, but you actually did try to make amends. And that's a lot more than Pan, whatever the father's name was. Colin? Was it Colin?
Colin, yeah.
Oh, it is a lot more than your father ever did for you.
Yeah.
Your dad abandoned you. You didn't abandon me. You just couldn't follow me where I wanted to take you. And then you've tried to get to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that moment. And then Rumpel turns around because he notices something is wrong, and then they hurry down because they... Because what does he say? Blood magic works two ways? That's
blood,
kind of...
Yeah, blood magic works both ways.
Yeah, so Rumpel feels that Pan is there, and then they just arrive in time because Pan is trying to rip Henry's shadow off. I don't know what he wants to achieve with that, because he needs his heart, right? And he cannot get his heart.
I kind of think he accomplished what he was trying to do there, almost. Maybe he was trying to switch with Henry all along, because he knew he didn't have a lot of time left.
Yeah.
And since Henry has the heart of the truest believer, maybe he thought that somehow that he could be just as powerful, but he'd just be in Henry's body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I was thinking he decided to switch the moment he noticed he got pulled into Pandora's box. In order to escape that box, he switched, because then you see the eye light up, or how do you say that? That's the effect.
There was like an eye flash on Henry.
Yes.
Like, you know, when he was pulling, they were pulling and pulling, and then all of a sudden his eyes flashed. Because my kid said something. And then we went, and that's when my husband went. They switched. I was like, what?
Was it when they were pulling his shadow out of his back?
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe he just had to, like, make room so Pan could somehow sort of slip in.
Well, that's what I don't understand.
Yeah, there's an eye flash, and then Peter Pan all of a sudden just kind of freaked out, like, just going, no, no, and just, you know, all of a sudden Peter Pan's expression completely changed.
Yeah. I'll have to go back
and
watch
that. So I don't understand, is Henry in Pan, or is they're both in Henry, or,
Henry is in Pan's body, and vice versa. They did a body swap. So now Henry is trapped in Pandora's box.
Freaky Friday.
I didn't get that only until after this little discussion with Felix. Then I was like, oh shoot.
It's like Freaky Friday, but it's great grandson and great granddad.
Yeah, well, this is one of the few things that I actually called right when it was happening. Like, oh no, he's yep. And my wife's like, shh, you'll ruin it. Yeah.
Of course, one of the first things I said was, oh wow, I wonder what Father Roderick's going to say now that Henry's going to have a meteor. Like, is his acting going to be up to snuff? You know, because he always talks about how, you know, we talk about how great, what's his name, Robbie Kay, who plays
Robbie
Peter Pan.
Robbie Kay, oh, Robbie
Kay. You know,
he
does such an amazing job. And the kid who plays Henry, he's kind of the character is just kind of, I don't say bland, but you know, he's, you know, so now if he's Pan in this kid's body, wow. I mean,
he's gonna you have to step up quite a bit now.
Yeah, right. But I don't think
swaps acting chops, hopefully.
No, but I don't think Jared Gilmer, who's the actor who plays Henry, is really bad at acting, but he is just does not get room to act, because he's kind of because the whole time he's almost used like a prop.
Yeah. That's true.
So I feel bad for the actor, because I think he can do a lot more than what he's showing, because otherwise he probably wouldn't be cast. He's also,
well, the other thing is he's like 13 or 14 in real life now. Yeah. And, you know, he's still playing I guess Henry's supposed to be 11 now. So, I mean, he's getting older and he's getting taller. So that's going to be, if this show plans on going more long term, they've only got another year or so before he really starts looking older.
Yeah.
You know, and they've got to deal with that. So it almost makes me wonder.
That's magic.
You know, they could always pull a... They could always put like
an aging spell. They'll do an aging spell and replace him with another actor.
Yeah. They'll get caught up in some curse.
Or they'll pull a 24, you know, one season ends and the next season starts. Or they did it in Battlestar Galactica too, you know. 2 years later, 3 years later, we catch up with what's happened to them.
Well, I think in Lost, they just got rid of the kid, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he was gone.
I heard from the, I think the directors, that's this, so they came, they had a break, and they came back from the break, and the actor was like inches taller and suddenly had his deep voice, you know? And I was like, oops.
Yeah, go back and watch the first season. He was a little kid, you know? And now you stop and you really pay attention when he stands next to somebody, he's a lot taller.
I think sometimes it seems like he's slumping, too. Maybe
he might be.
Yeah. Like, is he slumping when he's walking next to Mary Margaret?
Yeah, I think he needs to do all kinds of tricks to look smaller than he really is. He had the same problem with the pickup shoots for The Hobbit. Because at one point, you have Bart Bowman has a son, and you see look at a video diary, and then they have to do pickup shooting, but the kid has grown 5 inches or something like that. So he has to go through his knees a little bit squatting to make sure that they are the same height as before the pickup shooting. So it's always a risk when you shoot movies with teenage kids.
Oh, yeah. They are growing.
Yeah, so to go back to the episode, so at one point certainly we go upper deck and we see Henry appearing, and then that already, I was like, I didn't get it with the eye blinking and everything, so like, oh, what is he doing up? And so Bay is coming up to him, comforts him, and then he picks up some food and brings it to Felix, and then we, for people who missed the eye blinking thing, then it becomes clear that Ben and Henry switch bodies. Dun-dun-dun.
No matter what those other traitors do, I'm on Pan's side. And Pan
never fails.
What?
You heard me. Peter Pan never fails. He can't be stopped. Even when they think he's defeated, when they think they've won, he finds a way.
So you think you're not safe?
Oh no, I'm perfectly safe. During our struggle, my fate was sealed. The one who's in trouble is Henry.
But you're Henry.
Not anymore.
You switched.
You sure you're not hungry?
Thank you. And
now, let's play.
So what's happening after that? So how does it get resolved, do you think?
I think it's going to be a whole another half season. I think that's not going to be resolved until next spring.
Oh, but I mean, they did show that, I mean, they are, someone, you know, Pan does get out, or Henry does get out of that Pandora's box for at least a second or something, because he's yelling to, I think, Emma or somebody, saying, "I'm really Henry," in the promo.
Was there a promo?
Yeah.
There was the promo. There's a promo where he's like, "I'm really Henry," and like, well, he's kind of, you know, that he's gonna have to be really convincing, because Pan is just being known as being the most devious person of all. So Henry's kind of screwed right now, because he's in the body of one of the best liars and tricksters in the world.
Yeah.
That could be a problem.
Yeah, but I was wondering, so I didn't really see the, I only shot quickly once. So it was like, so Pan doesn't know Henry very well, because they hardly have been in each other's company. So how difficult must it be for him to copy Henry's behavior and what he likes, what he doesn't like, when he's back in Storybrooke? And people obviously will notice the change in behavior, I would think.
Yeah, I'm interested to find out whether, I mean, which mom will know, will Regina notice, or because she's known him the longest of anybody, or will Emma notice first? I'm
both.
Curious.
Yeah. I think both, because Emma allegedly can tell when somebody is lying, so she'll hone in on that, and then Regina will know that something's different.
Yeah, my guess is they're going to fix it before the hiatus, because we take a, what, 3-month hiatus on the show? We have next week, and then we're done till March, which is huge. I'm kind of irritated by that, but whatever. And I can't imagine they're going to leave this hanging, because the writer-directors had said that they were going to treat each half season like it's like mini seasons. So my thought is this next one is the new Neverland. I think they're going to figure it out and wrap it up in some way. You know, and then we'll start a whole new story arc with maybe the things that are hanging out there from the Enchanted Forest, you know. Because we're supposed to be going back to Robin Hood.
That's true. Mulan, that would make sense.
And all those people. So yeah. It kind of makes me think we're going to, like, next week is going to be a big good versus evil, oh my gosh, what are we going to do, you know, kind of episode. Big power, like season finale one. And then in the spring, we'll start out with a new storyline.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what it's like.
Well,
okay, so here's one. Wendy's coming home, right? Wendy's looks like she's been snapped right out of, she's still what, 12, 13 years old? She's been snatched right out of London, 1900. But her brothers are walking around, they've aged. They're walking around as, you know, young men, say 25 to 30. They're walking around, and they haven't aged since that moment. So what's that going to be like? Oh, and did you see them? They were the family that was going to come and get Henry the baby when Regina was going to bring him back.
Yes.
Pan will be displeased.
I did. That was funny. Well, and the other thing is, you know, she's like a little 12 or 13 year old, but she's hundreds of years old.
Yes.
I mean, well, at least and 100. She's been manipulated by Pan for a century. So, or held hostage, or one or the other. I'm thinking this girl's got to, I mean, she's not a true teen. So are they going to, she going to act like a teen? Or is she going to act like an adult trapped in a little kid's body?
Sounds like work for Dr. Hopper.
Yeah, that's true.
Although Dr. Hopper's therapy degree is a fictitious degree from a curse. So I wonder how good his schooling really is.
Well, he helped Regina identifying the reason for why she wasn't happy.
That's true.
But he was already
a real therapist.
He was already so very, very old as a grasshopper. So he with that age comes wisdom and experience, and so he'd already been known as a conscience, so to speak, a cricket of immense knowledge, even back in fairy tale land. Because he was around the round table when they were trying to decide what to do about Regina in the very, second episode?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I can't wait how this is being wrapped up. Because I've kind of liked the swap, because it's like, there's something new. So it's the story's turned upside down again. So I like that. But someone else didn't like the swap.
I wasn't a big fan of the swap.
Why
I understand why they did it, but I just wasn't a big fan of it.
I was
so focused on Regina. I was so into the Regina story that I wasn't really interested in the twist. When he came and he tried to rip the shadow out, I thought, oh, that's cool. And then they captured him, and I thought, okay, that's cool. And then when we realized he went up to talk to Felix, I was like, oh, no, can't we just, you know... Let's just have one happy reunion episode where they all go back and we, you know, we figure out what's the, you know, set it up for the next season, wrap it up, and no, now we're gonna have to do the whole Pan hiding out in Henry's body thing.
So, if you don't want to be spoiled, so we will move into spoiler territory now. We want to thank you for listening, and you can always leave feedback on our site, onceuponatime.sqpn.com, and you can click on the tab to leave voice feedback, and we always love to hear your voices. So if you don't want to stick with our promo, I want to wish you all a very well, have a nice week, and take care.
He's back.
All new ABC next Sunday. A triumphant return to Storybrooke is scarred by age-old grudges.
I shall destroy your happiness if it is the last thing I do.
Hidden dangers.
Henry, he just doesn't seem quite himself.
And a terrifying new threat.
We can stop him, finally, and forever.
Mom? What? I'm Henry.
Once Upon a Time. All new next Sunday at 8, 7 Central on ABC.
Well, I have a thing that has to do with the actors in real life that I saw, and I wonder how they're going to handle it on the show.
Oh, you mean
that? The actress that plays Snow is pregnant.
Yes,
yeah, in real life.
Well, I wonder, she was mentioning she wanted to have a baby earlier in a couple episodes ago. I'm like, did they work that in just in time or what?
I think so, because if there's a 3-month hiatus and she's like, so they just announced it. So then she probably is 3 months pregnant.
Well, and they say online, I've seen reports that they're filming right now, you know, for the spring shows, and that she's wearing clothes. She's already got a baby bump that she's covering. So, I don't know. I wondered about that. Are they going to have to work that in, or are they going to be able to hide it? Because that would be interesting. I mean, that would be interesting.
Yeah,
what to do, and it makes it even more interesting that the characters on the show are, you know, if they're gonna have a baby on the show and they're having a baby in real life, the real actors.
Yeah,
I think it would be fun for her to have a baby on the show.
Yeah, but it's kind of handy. Your fiancé is working on the same show as you, and when you give birth to your child, you can just bring him along because it's kind of handy on set.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry for a nanny or anything.
You know what they might do, too, is they might do flashbacks of Snow pregnant with Emma and then just not have her be as prominent or present in the whatever the daily episodes are.
Yeah.
So, like, if they go back to, let's say hypothetically, I'm just off the top of my head here, I don't know anything. But let's say they go back to the Robin Hood story, or they're able to cross back into that realm with the ship or something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Mary Margaret doesn't go with them, and it's maybe she and Charming stay behind, and it's Emma and Neil and, you know, Regina and Gold and Belle. But you know, so maybe it's a different ensemble that goes back to. So we don't see a lot of Charming and Mary Margaret in the second half. Except in flashbacks, and in the flashback, she's pregnant.
Yeah, so it could sound like a little bit of backstory for Emma. So, what happened in when she was a child, for example, maybe Emma gets pregnant in the series, and we get flashbacks to motherhood or motherhood-centered episode. Who knows? But we have already have been talking for an hour, so it's time to wrap things up. We want to thank you for listening, and hopefully Father Roderick isn't back next week, so you don't have to listen to another train wreck, and we hope to see you back real soon. Bye-bye.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.